Thank you, my brother Plique, for the fine reading of God's Word. May I encourage you to open your Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes. This month, the month of January of the year 2009, we are looking in the Scripture under the topic, Solomon's Evaluation of Life. In the book of Ecclesiastes, you find four measures, views of life by Solomon. You see life itself. Then today we're going to study this. You're going to see what Solomon's think about pleasure, then about time, and then about the greatest choice a man, a woman can make. And remember, this is King Solomon writing to his son, so that when he takes power and becomes king in Israel, he has these documents in his hand that he can review them and guide his life. I'm sorry to say that his son didn't. And the first thing he did is raise taxes in the country and divided the country forever. Israel never became the same. The key thought to remember that is 27 times mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes is these words, under the sun. Life under the sun. You have that in chapter 2, verse 11. At the very end of verse 11, you find that, and you're going to see it today over and over. But as we progress in the book of Ecclesiastes, he made qualifications to his statements. And that qualification is, this is what I said as I view the issue under the sun. A Hebrew expression as saying earthly, no looking into heaven. One of the things in disadvantage for English-speaking people is to read the Bible in English and not in Hebrew, because Hebrew will give you the emphasis and the flavor of what he thinks. For years, God has blessed me with the association of one of the greatest scholars in the Greek language in Tel Aviv, Professor Manahan. I met him in a trip in an airplane as I was typing in Hebrew in my Bible in the middle seat. He was on the aisle and he was looking to me, and we were from a long trip. And I keep on typing and typing, and you know, we write right to left. And he was looking and looking, and finally he said, "Son, I admire you. Are you from the land of the sun?" That means, are you an Arab? And I said, "No, sir, no, my grandma was." He said, "Well," he said, "I'm an Israelite." And so he shaked my hand. He said, "You are typing on the book of Esther." I said, "Yes, I'm Professor Manahan, and I can't believe myself. I have read his book. I have studied through internet through him in Ohio. I went to visit with him, and I was shaken of the emotions of the hour." And he looked in the computer, and he said, "You learned the language so well. They are going to give you all my manuscripts and all my, I'm ready to die. I'm 88. And I'm trying to find somebody to give my devoted work to the Hebrew language." And so I even got his Bible that he wrote in English. They are going to use it today. They became later on the New Century version of America Never Progress, because it's a rough translation. But he said, "You know, we have so many translations from the Hebrew Bible, so many, and we write in English. I write to write an English Bible as a Hebrew scholar see it from the Greek, from the Hebrew into the English language. So allow me to take a long sermon today. Sorry for those who are listening, they're going to be off the air. But to look in the scripture in both your English as it's translated in the 15th century and the words that he said, and you will see what a Hebrew think of the text in the English language to enrich you, because the topic is superb. Solomon's Evaluation a pleasure under the sun. The first question that I ask myself is this. Does having fun bring happiness? As I was chatting with Jacqueline about the school and the glorious and wonderful scholarship of Boston University, one of the leading schools for leaders in America, I wanted to find out her political teaching, and because she's in advanced classes in political and economical devices of international thoughts. And she brought books to me to read right away, 3 or 4 books. You read it this afternoon, she said, and then we discuss it tomorrow morning, challenging Grandpa. And I wanted to know, see, and the greatest thing is that as I ask questions on her curriculum and her times and so on, I say, oh, better than anything. I knew you were going to check me out. So she brings in her computer, her life, all through pictures. And then suddenly, one of the lodges, most beautiful lodges in America, in Maine, where President Bush is there. And here is she in the canoe and fishing, and everybody said, what class is this? No, he said, if you get 3.8, then you have to make a break. So the school give you a week in the most luxurious place with the elite and the thinkers of America to relax. See, we know what pleasure is, don't we? I said, you have to bring your food. Oh, Grandpa, they are cooks. You phone them and you say, crab, doing in this way. And they bring the sandwich with crabs like the president. And why you do that? He said, to have pleasure. So your mind relax. Well, I'm learning about schooling. But what do you do for pleasure? If you have all the money of the world, all the power of the world, and all the energy of the world to have pleasure, what do you do? Let's find out. Because the man that wrote this have all the money, all the time, and all the power in the entire world, and he's going to write about pleasure. Does having fun bring happiness? Well, look at what he said in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. I enjoy myself. I said in my heart. The Hebrew translate, I said to myself. The word heart in the Hebrew language is the English word myself, the deep me, the real me. I say in the real me, I will enjoy myself. I say in my heart, come now, I will enjoy myself. Here's what the Hebrew said. I say in my heart, I will try having fun. I will enjoy myself. The King James translate, come now, I will test thee with mirth, which is mirth is the perfume of fun and joy. So now look at here. Solomon said, well, what I wrote in chapter 1 about life is gone. Now I'm going to try something else. So listen, I'm going to enjoy myself, not anybody else, just myself. I'm going to have fun as nobody can have it. Then he said, I will laugh. Look at verse 2. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what does it? Here's what the Hebrew said in a little more really simplicity. It is foolish to laugh all the time, and having fun doesn't accomplish anything. Do you know, as I flip the channels in Christian world, there is a church of laughter in Houston, Texas. You sit down, and the pastor starts teaching. And very soon, the whole congregation, he said, pass the offering, they pass the offering, big offering. Everybody's laughing, big offering. And then, then go home. He said, God bless you. The church to laugh. Well, I said, no new. Look at here, verse 2. He said, I said of laughter. I don't know why this microphone came down a little. I said of laughter, it is mad and admired what thou said. In other words, Solomon is really saying in a marvelous way, is foolish to laugh. It is foolish. And laughing, as the scribe described it, accomplish nothing in this. I will cherry up myself with wine. I ask many people, what do you drink? Just to cherry myself up. All right? We went to Chevy's to eat lunch, and I watch, and I sit on the bar area, because they serve better food over there. So I sit over there, and I watch the people. And I count 5 cups of wine of a guy before he starts his dinner. I told my wife, I'm afraid he's going to fall from the bench over there. You know, he started laughing after that. Look at verse 3. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. Here's what the Hebrew said. I decided to cheer myself up with wine while my mind was still thinking wisely. Even though I'm a very smart guy and I can measure and make decisions wisely, I decide I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to do that. So he decided, is having a fun bring happiness? Well, he enjoyed himself. He laughed at anything. And then he get wine so that he has no more feelings. Did that help? Well, look in verse 1 again. If you look in verse 1 again, he says, said in my heart or in myself, come now, I will enjoy there with pleasure. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is vanity. In Hebrew, here's the word for vanity. And he said, decided to cheer myself up with wine while my mind was still thinking wisely. I want to find a way to enjoy myself and see what was good for people to do during their few days of their life, and I found useless. This is what it is in verse 1. But I found that this also is useless, vanity. And so here you have a tremendous picture. Does having fun bring happiness? Listen, young people. Does having fun bring happiness? I said to Jacqueline, do you brought some books to read during your retreat? No. He said, that was the recommendation from the doctor said that we have been under stress, studying so much and getting so much high. And I tell you, I saw the curriculum, and they have to produce 300-400 pages a week in papers and so on. And they have political science is very, very demanding, and reading 10 books in a week, something like that. And so she said, we have no books, nothing. We just relax. I said, did that help you? No, she said, that put me behind, and so on. And it's useless. Trying to find pleasure under the sun. The man who did it to the maximum level said, it's useless. All right? Then let's go to the other extreme. One extreme is having fun. All right? When you have fun, you forget about anything. Is that right? When we go to Mexico, that's it. No computers, nothing in the hand. It's my wife and me. That's it. We like each other or not, but it's my wife and me. And we better have fun together. All right? Now, the other extreme is work. All right? So he deals with that. Does hard work bring happiness? Well, let's study this carefully. Verse 4, he became a successful architect. Look at verse 4. I made for myself. In other words, nobody helped him. He did it himself. He designed it himself. Great works. I built houses and plant vineyards. Now, how much he did? Well, we have the documentation. There are two books of history in the Bible, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. 1 Chronicle and 2 Chronicle are part in the original of the same package, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And so, as in the New Testament, you have a book of history, Acts. In the Old Testament, you have a book of history, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. So let's go to 1 Kings, let's go to 1 Kings on chapter 9 over there. And I read just as the Hebrew. You follow me in your Bible, but I want to read just as the Hebrew man translated from the Hebrew into English. And you will see how easily is to be understood. This Professor Manahan, this is a wonderful work. I'm start reading. What you did, Solomon, chapter 9, verse 15. This is the account of the forced labor Solomon used to build the temple and the palace. He had them filled in the land and built the wall around Jerusalem. He also had them rebuild the cities of Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. Now verse 16. In the past, the king of Egypt had attacked and captured Gezer. After burning it, he killed the Canaanites who lived there. Then he gave it as a wedding present to his daughter who married Solomon. So either by talking or by marriage, he always gets things. Verse 17. So Solomon rebuilt it. The entire city, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 17. The entire city. So Solomon rebuilt it. He also built the cities of Lower Beth, Horon, verse 18, and Bala, as well as Tadmor, which is in the desert. Yeah, and the Negev. Look at verse 19. King Solomon also built cities for storing grain and supplies, and cities for his chariots and horses. That means like German tanks. He built whatever he wanted in Jerusalem, Lebanon, and everywhere he ruled. Now that proves that Solomon was a man of peace, but that he was not a fool. He has the largest army at that particular moment in the history of the world. Yes, he was a man of peace. Yes, he never made a war, but nobody dare because he has the largest army ever a man can have. Now, look with me at verse 26, what the Bible says. Here it is. King Solomon also built ships in Ezion Geber, a town near Elah on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And these were war ships that he built. So he became a successful architect. Now, verse 5 in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he became a successful farmer. Look at verse 5. I made gardens and orchards and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. Amazing. Then I became a successful engineer. Look at verse 6. I made pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bring forth trees. Now, don't we have this in the valley in Modesto and Fresno? You see that pool coming in through, goes all the way from Sacramento all the way to Los Angeles. And as you drive Highway 5, you maybe see it. And we draw water from time to time. The day is signed. The doors are open. Hundreds and hundreds of gallons go into the neighborhood and water the trees, the almond trees and so on over there. And then the doors are closed and the next neighbor the next day. Where do we learn it? From here, from Solomon. All right. Right, verse 7, I became a successful cattle rancher. Look at here. I had, in the middle of verse 7, I had great possession of herds and flocks about all that were in Jerusalem before me. And he became a successful employer. Look at the beginning of verse 7. I got servants and maidens and had servants born in my house also. When you got labor at that time in the Hebrew, you are not an employer with right. You are a servant. You do what your employer said. He owns you. No unions. To the unions. All right? no unions. When you're going to be an employer, you are a servant to the, and they, the man say, you work the whole day, you work the whole day, or you get executed. Now, you got a panorama. Sometimes you read the Bible, and you read the Bible with the American mind, you have to read the Bible with the Hebrew mind to understand it. So you thank God that you work 8 hours. These people work 10, 12 hours, and they were paid with food, place to be, and that's it. That's what it's called servants. All right? I became a successful businessman. Verse 8, look at it. I gathered also silver and gold. You know, when I came to America, I thought that everybody store in their homes silver and gold like we do in South America and in Europe, because that's our treasure. It's no investment in houses and in stock. How much gold? An Arab missionary came one day, and it was in a church, and I was at the seminary already, an associate pastor, and the pastor said, you come here and translate. And we translated, and he said, here it is. He said, I give you my credit card. Take this man to a big, big restaurant. So the man pulled out of his pocket 10 grams of gold, and from the other pocket 100 grams of gold. He said, which one will be okay to pay? I said, no, you put it in your pocket quickly. I don't want anybody to see this. I put it in your back. He said, we just paid with paper. Oh, what a terrible thing. He said, they had no money. That's right. We had no money. We just had paper. And so, you see, I understand what he said. Silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings in the province. All right? So he do this, and he became a successful entertainer. Look at verse 8. I got men singers and women singers. He don't need to go to the theater in San Francisco. He got it in his home. And the delights of the sons of men, that means women, as musical instruments and all others. The Bible tells us that he has between 600 to 1,000 women to have any one of those women, whatever he wants, any time of the day or night, he will have it. In other words, he went wild, all right? Now, verse 9, he became a successful media man. So, I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained in me. In other words, I'm still thinking right. I'm still doing business right in spite of this. Verse 10, I became a successful earthly man. Look at verse 10. And whatsoever my eyes desire, I kept not from them. I remember when Miriam was very little, 2 years when we came to the country, 45 years will be at the end of this month, on January 29th. I'll be 45 years in this country. And I took Miriam to a pet shop, you know, always Miriam wanted, you know, dolls and this and the other. I went to show her trains and nothing of that. Dolls and this is why I'm going to tell her to get a dog. And what dog do you like it? And go, this one, you know how children are, all right? And look at what he did. He said, and whatsoever my eyes desire, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart, myself, from any joy. Whatever I want, I did it. Now, the great question. Does hard work, where you can have extra money to have everything you want to, brings happiness? Well, two verses will answer that. Verse 11. Then I look on all the works that my hand had brought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all is useless, like my professor Manahan said in his translation, vanity. All is useless and vexation of his spirit, and there was no profit. What's the word? Under the sun. If you plan to enjoy your life just under the sun, I have news for you. It's useless. Look at verse 17. What happened with him? It's just amazing what he did. Verse 17 tell you, he also, you know, evaluated this very, very, very good. And in his evaluation, he says, I hate life. I was driving in Morning Hill with my wife yesterday, and I got to a light stop. And here is crossing a man. You have seen that, crossing a man with a little Safeway store, a long store, a little cart with all his clothing, all his belongings, and some bags with things. And I said, I look into my car where I was sitting in my Lincoln. Even though it's old, it's 95, it's very comfortable for my legs. I look on it. I look to my wife, and she said, what do you want to say? I said, that is what this man had for his life. That's the only thing he had. So I said to my wife, I like to quiz my wife a lot. I said, no, is he happy or unhappy? He says, keep driving, forget it. I want to know, is that man happy or unhappy? I want to have the answer at the end of the sermon. But think about it. Here's a man with everything. The guy stopped. When it's like this, I pull out. I stop the man and say, sir, I have only one question for you. I have $10 for you to go to coffee. And I have one question. Are you happy or unhappy? And I got great answers. I have a program on TV called Do You Know? For years, for 10 years, Do You Know? And I have questions like that in universities. And here's what this man said. Are you happy or unhappy? Solomon said, I hate life. Can you imagine? This man who did everything can be done in the world, he hates life. So my question is this. Is there real happiness under the sun? Is there real happiness in this world? Well, let's find the answer. Verse 12. What is important? And I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already then. So he said, I start thinking what is important. And what is his answer? Verse 13. Then I saw that wisdom excel folly as far as light excel darkness. You see, I look into all the details and all the corners, and I tell you what is good. Wisdom. It's like having light and darkness. Yesterday was full moon. I love the sky. My wife had to call me sometime. 1 o'clock, I just like to go to the roof and just look on it. You saw that ball, that fire? Now, have no light by itself. Ladies and gentlemen, the moon is dark. But when the sun comes on and a full moon, you say, God, wherever you are, you are there. It's amazing. Amazing. Even the deers love it because they can select the trees better. Now, why this man in verse 13 said, then I saw that wisdom is better. Well, look at what he said, verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head. In other words, the wisdom comes from your mind. But the fool walketh in darkness. In other words, if you are wise, you have light for tomorrow. But if you are not wise, you are like a blind person. Don't know where to walk. Do you see where I'm going? Do you see where you are going in life? That's what I ask young people, 12, 13, 14. What do you want to be when you grow up? And people say to me, well, I don't know, Pastor. I go into a school. Why do you go to a school? Well, I'd be there. This is not new. When I was in seminary, of course, I was older. I was 33. I think my brother, well, you start seminary at 40, Greg? Okay, he don't want to tell you how old he is, but it's an advantage. It's an advantage. Here you have these 20, 21, 22 years old. They don't know left from right. They know they memorize and they say things, and they don't know why they say it. And here is me, and one time, one guest professor, Dr. Schaefer, came in. He said this. He said, now, why are you here? Right in a 3x5 car, 10 words. Why are you here? So I said, I want to start in a school around the world. And God did it to me. Because I started for 34 years, the school in family radio. But the other people said, we don't know. If a church calls us and it's a good salary, we go, said one fellow. He said, get out of the class. You don't belong here. You know, it was as tough seminary as can be. It's nothing like today. I mean, you have to be for real, he said. And so, what is important for you? What do you see your future? Well, let's see. Spiritually. Let's take some, I have 4 minutes. Do you see your future spiritually? Oh yes, yes, Pastor, I follow Hindu. Oh yes, Pastor, I'm a Baptist. One lady just told me in St. Louis Hospital, I was with my wife, and the lady came and told everybody, here is a Baptist pastor. I said, I'm a Christian. I told everybody, because some people get offended by being Baptist. Baptist is good. And then spiritually, do you see spiritually your life? Well, what did Jesus say in John 8:12? Look in your Bible, John 8:12. He's in the temple. He's on the right hand of the temple. The treasury is in the back. And the lights, the candles and oil are lit in the area. So the Pharisees can go and deposit the money. And he walks in and they depend on those candles to open the treasure. And Jesus stands and he said, I am the light of the world. Can you do that? Ani Fose Cosmos. I am the light of the world. Now, that's spiritually where you go. If you have Christ Jesus as the one who justified before God, if you have Christ Jesus as the bridge between you and God the Father, the God of Israel, Jehovah, as you have the Messiah of Israel who died for your sin and rose again, as you have committed your life to him, then you have a spiritual light. But if you do not have him, you do not have a spiritual light. You're in darkness. How about socially? Do you know where you go socially? Let me show you. Philippians. And the ladies are studying this. Philippians 1:4. And the ladies study this and they have a CD. You can sing the scriptures. And I tried to sing the scripture on a trip to Oregon with my wife. And she wanted to open the door and get out of the car. But it's okay. All right? Philippians 1:4-5. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship or partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Do you have light that your social life, your intimate social life has to be in the gospel? Yes, you can have friends and acquaintance everywhere. But the real issue of your social life is in the gospel. It's in your church. What about financially? And I want to speak this. I want to speak on finances on February because the first sermon will be God's financial plan so that you don't panic. I listened for 1 hour to the president to be president-elect. Obama, and they have all kinds of alternative. I care less if it's socialism or not, but everybody missed the boat. And so President Otero will speak to you on this, all right? God's financial plan. We're going to take it. Brother Greg will speak on love, and I keep on speaking how God teaches how can you have enough and over enough of what you have, regardless who is the president, regardless the situation. You never be hungry. You never lose your home if you do that. How, Pastor? Well, let's look on it. I give you a hint. Philippians, again, chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now notice that the Bible said, my God will supply according to his riches and not out of his riches. I have said this example, that I want to say it now, but I want to say it again. If you play golf with this American billionaire, Bill Gates. You play golf with him and you are the caddy. And he win because you give him instruction. Use this one, use the other. Look at the level, look at this. One explicit, look it up. No, little hair, lose your arm. You know, you give him all the techniques that every stroke takes. And he win. So he said, I'm so happy. You're really a genius. He put his hand in the pocket and you're really excited. He takes $1 and give you $1. He has given you out of his riches and not according to his riches. You see that? Now, how did God give us? No, out of his riches. Look at the text again. Philippians 4:19 says, according to his riches. There are some requirements. There are some ABC that you need to follow before that. But when God gave, he never gave you partial. He gave you everything. See, do you see where you are going is my message. Yes. Solomon evaluation of pleasure is useless. But do you, members of Bethel, friends of Bethel, listeners of Bethel, do you know where you are going in 2009? Do you know spiritually? Are you just visiting a church? Or are you saying, I'm going to find God and I'm going to have to find my mediator between me and God because I'm a sinner? And I told you, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's your mediator. Socially, young people don't fool around and having great friends who are unbelievers. These are not your social companions. Then you are blind if you do that. You can have acquaintance in the school, acquaintance in your work, but the heart of your fellowship, the heart of your really pleasure is to be with God's people. Financially, do not be scared of America or world disaster. Please do not be scared if you really have light in the world of God. What a great God we have. He wrote a beautiful book called the Bible so that you and me can relax and indeed trust him and live for him. Thank you, Father. The Solomon told us like it is. Yes, pleasure is useless. Hard work is useless. But the beauty of all, is that you have given us light for the future. Thank you, Lord. The Solomon wrote this truly and true. He got nothing from us so that we saw a man with the potential to do what he wants to. And if this is what a life is, doing what we want to in this world, a life is useless. Lord, thank you that when we trust the Lord Jesus, our life becomes useful. Our social life becomes enhancing. And our more entire life becomes dominated by the power of God. And we always will have what we need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your instructions. In Jesus' name, amen. Shut the glass off.
Christ returned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It may be at midday. It may be at twilight. It may be perchance. Christ returned.